Political junkies tend to look at the minutiae and the numbers and the exit polls and all those kind of things after an election for a long time. And it's this interesting little coffee klatch of specialists that do that. And sometimes they miss the big picture, Ken, when it comes to what's actually changing. What does any one set of elections mean? And I think we're almost into that territory right now after you look at Virginia, New Jersey, and Buffalo and Minneapolis and all that sort of thing. I'm Mike Ferguson, by the way. 8:36 with Ken Williams, now joined by Matt Rosenberg. And Matt is, I mean, what, like, for instance, the book that you can find there is What's Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son, and you can find his writing at Chicago Schooled, S-K-O-O-L-E-D. I would assume a reference to public school, but oh, did I say that out loud? And Matt joins me now. And Matt, when you're looking at all of the breakdowns and what do the last week's elections mean, I think a lot of people proverbially miss the forest for the trees. What's your take on what we should be learning from, you know, three or four states' elections right now?
Well, I think we're seeing some really interesting things in some of our nation's big cities. There's a breaking point that I think voters are reaching in traditionally liberal progressive bastions like Minneapolis, like Seattle, New York City, and even San Francisco. You know, you had a series of things that were quite interesting in each of those towns. You had voters in Minneapolis rejecting essentially an abolish the police department ballot initiative. The proposal was to replace it with a much more purely social services agency. People are up in arms about rising crime in Minneapolis, you know, go figure. So they knocked that one back. In Seattle, which, you know, is my other hometown when I'm not in Chicago, voters rejected an abolish the police candidate for city attorney and elected a Republican. Now, when was the last time that happened in Seattle? That right there is biggie. In New York, Eric Adams becoming mayor, the centrist Democrat. We knew that was in the cards after the primary when he defeated more liberal challengers. But now he's in. He supports police doing their job. He supports school choice. He is a million miles away from Bill de Blasio, and that's a very good thing. And then San Francisco is a whole other thing. We can get to that maybe in a minute. There's some very interesting stuff looming there in some February elections, school board recall for a couple of really good reasons.
Yeah, man, I think there's a lot of big R Republicans who are saying, look at this, people love the Republican Party. They're running to the Republican Party. I don't think it's necessarily about R&D, do you?
No, and that's a very astute point, Mike, and I think folks need to bear that in mind. It's, first of all, I think it's the issues. It's the vibrations and the emanations. And, you know, in Virginia, of course, a lot of it had to do with the way that race and responsibility are being taught in the schools. And it's quite interesting. I understand that in the Washington Post now, there's been some basically admissions from liberal teachers and a guest perspective piece. Yes, we are teaching what you might call critical race theory in the classroom, only we don't put that name on it. And this is an example of the kind of stuff that people are rising up against. It's a sort of an extremism in ideology. It's not necessarily that it has a D or an R next to it, but you know, right now I'm sitting here talking to you from Evanston, Illinois, where I started my college career at Northwestern University, staying with a friend. And here in the city school system, there's been an uprising by parents. A guy named Connor Freidersdorf actually wrote about it in The Atlantic several months ago. They're telling black kids, hey, you can't succeed. You can't be a lawyer. You can't realize your dreams because white people have their boot on your neck. And, you know, a lot of black parents are saying, are you kidding, man? You're really telling my kids this? So it's that kind of thing. It's not just Virginia. In San Francisco, you know, during the height of COVID, when kids couldn't get into class and the teachers union and the school board were blocking the continuation of in-person education, the school board decided to purge to purge admissions at an elite academy. There were too many Asians getting in, so they decided to do away with merit testing to get into Lowell High School, the premier high school for high achievers in the San Francisco system. Parents didn't like that. The city also embarked on a purge of statues, so people are fed up. There's a school board recall election in February. So this is going on all over. You know, people are just saying basta, enough.
Yeah, and then you add on to that, and I think that Terry McAuliffe, when his now infamous soundbite, Terry McAuliffe, I think, said and confirmed what a lot of people were thinking when he said, I don't want parents telling schools what they should teach. And the way that was interpreted accurately is, you shut up, your child belongs to us too.
Well, there's just been this continuing undercurrent of we know best. And, it does in many ways stem back to the academy, to universities and colleges, which for years now have been inculcating, the teachers of tomorrow and the city bureaucrats and city council members and city mayors of tomorrow with a whole set of values that, the experts know best, and the great unwashed masses need to be guided and led and prodded into thinking the right way. And sadly, the whole thing becomes reminiscent of, China under Mao, where we're in this sort of great re-education camp that the left has envisioned, and people really are not ready to tolerate that. So you're getting a big blowback. Now, my concern is, this stuff is not so much party driven as some ours would like to think. So you get an opening, make the most of it. And where I see the great challenge for, right-minded centrists, and that's what I'll call them, rather than, urban Republicans, because you can't really hang your head on that. The great challenge is really, I'm a cities guy. We need a better national agenda for sure, but we need good urban agendas. I had a chance to lay out what that might look like for Chicago when I did my book, and we need a bottom-up revolution here. I've used that phrase before. I believe it's important. We need more voter registration, more voter participation in minority communities, more real interaction between the money people and the policy people, with the people on the ground, the pastors, the parishes, and the good NGOs working on violence prevention, education. To go visit a charter school founder on the south side or the west side of Chicago, is that an eye-opener. I had a chance to do that, to go visit a Christian homeschooling parent on the south side of Chicago and actually just listen to their concerns and stories and what they've been through in the last few years. That'll open your eyes, so you can really tap into some powerful stuff if you get out into the community. I think the question now is how to harness it. So where are the political leaders? That's my question. Who will sort of write the new urban agenda and build the support for it and get it enacted? That's the great bugaboo.
The book is called What's Next, or What Next, Chicago, Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Matt, I just got a minute or so left here, but you talk about the voter registration and the networking, and that's absolutely, I agree, but isn't there a cultural element to this as well? Because you would hope that politics is downstream from culture, not the other way around. What's maybe the one next baby step that people in big cities like us here in the St. Louis region, what should we be doing, not just to get the right people voted in, but also to create that culture where that's expected?
Well, I think that's a crucial question and a crucial point. Frankly, encouraging responsible parenting. If I were being forced to say, that would be the number one thing. It may only be 5 to 10% of households that are getting it wrong in a city like Chicago or St. Louis, but it's enough to have a dramatic effect on the population and public safety as a whole. So I think responsible parenting with the aim not only of raising, young men and women prepared to make their way and be nonviolent, but we need to do this to really set the stage for the rest of everything. How to live with moral authority, you know, so whether it's parenting classes at churches, actually for political leaders like Lori Lightfoot in Chicago to step up and say, you know what, parents, you have to do better. And no one can do that. So we have to get the race thing right. We have to stop being racist toward black people by saying they can't rise to the same standards everyone else is held to. That is the biggest thing of all. Get rid of systemic racism theory. That's the term I use, and put an emphasis on parenting. That would be my number one thing at the cultural level.
All right, Chicago Schooled with a K, that's.com, right, Matt?
That's right, chicagoschooled.com, and the book is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble online.
All right, Matt, good chat with you again.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for having me on.